Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, my brothers and my sisters. Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and we're excited about you being here with us as we conclude this series, which is really just open dialogue. That's where we're at on the PRF table for the month of March 2018. We've just been having open conversations, open dialogue, talking about various subject matters that have been coming up with us as a team throughout the week, or something that is coming to news. Because a lot of times what we understand is that people hear things, don't know how to respond to things, don't know what the Word of God says about things. And so when those type of things happen, then we need people to be in a place of trying to take what they have been given as a foundation. And in what we like to do, as I like to say it all the time, I'm not here to say what you've learned is wrong. But what I am here to say is, let's take what you already have as far as your current level of knowledge, and let's add on to that. And so before I go any further, we'd like to say welcome and give our greetings to Sister Mary Ann Williams. We know her around the table, and those who've been listening, y'all know her as Mama. Everybody call you Mama, so that's what we're going to continue to call you. How you doing today, Mama?
Well, good evening. Good evening, and I'm just not going to complain. I'm going to just thank and praise God that I'm here to be with you all one more time. And I just want to say good evening to everyone, and that I really do appreciate your kindness. Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, listen, thank you again, everybody who is listening. So a couple ground rules that we want to just put out here real quick. If you are listening to us via Facebook, on our Facebook page, PRF Institute is the name. If that's how you're listening to us, or you're listening to us through our website, prfministry.org, and you want to get into this conversation, you have something that's really burning inside of you, you don't want to type it online, all you got to do is dial 347-215-7934. 347-215-7934. I say it all the time. You need to just go ahead and lock that in your phone under the PRF table, so that way you know how to just call in whenever you want to call in, whenever we're having a live show. We're thankful to all of the partners that we have out here. Thankful to all of the people that serve in this organization. And so let's get into it, Mama. Let's get into whatever we're going to talk about tonight. But let me just tell you, you know, I like this open dialogue thing. It kind of makes it seem a lot more like what people would say is syndicated radio. I speak that. Because we're not necessarily on a big old theme. We're talking about stuff that's important to you. So let me just tell you, we were dealing with we were ministering a couple of days ago to one organization we ministered to, myself and Brother Mark and myself. You know, I just follow him around, Mama, because, you know, he the one who got the power. And I know he listens, so I just had to throw that out there because he's going to come on eventually. But we were talking, and it's amazing how sometimes when you can just ask one question to people, where the Lord will take the conversation and how it transforms into dialogue. And there was one question that was asked, and it took us into a place of having to deal with tithing. And it's funny because that wasn't the intent. The intent was, God, we don't know where we're going to be at tonight. Whatever we need to deal with tonight, let us deal with that. So here's a question. And listen, I want all of y'all who are listening right now, who's listening, where I can see you on the switchboard, listening via Facebook or the website, I really want y'all to get into this conversation. We got 45 minutes. And here's the question. I just got one question tonight, Mama, and where it goes is after that, I don't know. But the question of tonight is this. Is the destination of your tithes a secret? Is the destination of your tithes a secret? I see y'all scratching your foreheads like, where is this joker going tonight? But Mama, let's just hear your thoughts. And I like to hear thoughts, because if we don't ask people questions,
question.
We don't get how do you respond to that question about is the destination of the tithe, your tithe, a secret?
Okay, I'm just I've been blessed in doing my walk, 20-some years plus walk with God, that I have been in churches where they will give you a report. You know, you have your business meeting and your report. And to me, there was never any problems about money that came up that I knew of. And those churches, the churches I have been in, and even the church where I am now. And I think, putting that aside, it's just a matter of when you, say for example, if a person goes shopping, they go shopping and they have a reason why they're going, they have a purpose why they're going shopping. Say they're going doing their monthly shopping. And say they have their list, and they're going to look like people look at meat and things of that nature to make sure that it, you know, that it's not us, you know, spoil. Well, when it comes to money, because that's money being spent for the food, they know what they're getting. And to me, it's only the right thing to do that we, as believers, know where the tithes and offerings are going. It's to me, the integrity there and the honesty there, and it keeps down all the confusion, because I can say all the churches I've been in, there was never confusion about where the money did go. Although, you know, I have other brothers and sisters, and it was a lot of complaining about that, you know. And so I just think that it's just it's an honesty, just being transparent, you know. Why not? Because the money is not, the tithes and offerings, it's not a personal thing, a personal, like it's my money. No.
Okay.
People, everybody is putting in a share. Everybody is putting in, I mean, say, people putting in this money, you know. And so why not we know, as the body of Christ, you know, where the money is going. Amen.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The fact that we even have to have this conversation, the fact that the Lord has brought this up, the Spirit of God brought this up within me, I'm not going to say that's a problem. I'm going to say that it's just okay. It's okay to ask questions. And here's one of the things that I bring to us, because it's important. God has made all of us to have something called a brain. The brain is one of the most complex organs that we have in our body. One of the most complex, because you can't figure everything out. You can see where certain things are, but you can't really say how everything works, why I've made a certain decision. You can't say, oh, because this little piece on the right side of the brain told the piece on the left side of the brain to do something, and then I slapped the heck out of you. We can't go to him, right? Because we're using our brains so much. So much of our brain activity controls our functions of our bodies. And our minds and all of that, right? And one of the things that I really want people to understand as we talk about tithes or this dealing with this question tonight is that y'all are a whole lot more brighter than a whole bunch of folk have given y'all credit for.
Amen.
I'm talking to the listeners. Y'all are a whole lot more brighter than a whole bunch of people have given you credit for. In the past, I say in the past, because whatever you learn tonight, we're going to let that be canceled out for folks that don't think that you're intelligent. You know, it's crazy to me to think that God has created us in his image and after their likeness, but yet so many folks believe that they're not smart.
Mm-hmm. That's
I don't have a doctorate degree like you, Dr. Dunlap. Let me tell you, there's a whole bunch of folk that ain't graduate high school that's a whole lot smarter than Dr. Dunlap. If Dr. Dunlap want to be honest and ain't going to be prideful. So at the end of the day, I want y'all to think about that you were created in God's image and after their likeness. And so you're not dumb. You're not somebody who God has created to be easily manipulated. If some things has happened in your life in regards to this subject matter that we're talking about tonight, God knows it. He understands it. He'll deal with the ones if they have done some things to have you being in a certain mindset about some of the things of God, some of the principles of God. You know what? I'm in this space. We're going to let God deal with them. Because, see, there's a scripture. I'm going to go here real quick. There's a scripture. The scripture is in Matthew chapter 5. And again, I don't mind talking about the same scriptures over and over and over because there's different people that listen all the time. But here's what I know what Jesus said. See, I like this dealing with what Jesus said before we deal with this other stuff, because then if you get mad, then you need to be mad with Jesus, right? So Jesus said this. He said, "Don't think that I have come to abolish the law of Moses or of the prophets." Now, Moses or of the prophets. Moses or the writings of the prophets, which means that a whole bunch of things were said by God through Moses and through the writings of the prophets, because that's what we have, the writings. He says, nah, that's not why I didn't come to do. I didn't come to do away with those. I came to accomplish his purpose. I came to fulfill them, right?
Yes.
Now, here's the next thing he said, verse 18. "I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until his purpose is achieved." Let me be nice tonight. If you believe that just because you've taught something, that everything that went along with what you're teaching has been achieved forever, God may have something different to say about that. Because the truth of the matter is, what I teach, what the others on our team teach, that has not accomplished the whole purpose of the laws that God has put in place. It may have accomplished his purpose with that group of people over here in West Oak Lane, but what about the folks in Mount Airy? And the folks in Mount Airy they didn't hear it, so they can't really take it the way the folks in West Oak Lane have taken it, because they've been under that teaching. They may have been under that teaching for 2 years, and here you just hear a little piece and think you could just run with it and think, well, I ain't got to deal with that no more. No. It said, until its purpose is achieved. Matter of fact, one translation says, until everything is accomplished. Well, let me help us out with something. Not to preach, but just to be very clear. Until Jesus returns, there's always going to be some things to be yet accomplished. So if you're listening to me, you're listening to Mama, you're listening to whoever else comes on, you're listening to your pastor or your preacher on Sunday morning. Oh, your church will be filled on Sunday. If you listen, you got to understand that was then, but we still got tomorrow. And tomorrow brings us new challenges. Tomorrow brings us new opportunities for learning. And that's just where we're at. So now, and I have to say that because so many folk want to get rid of the law as if the law doesn't matter. Well, Jesus said, until its purpose is achieved. And I don't believe we have in our Bible where everything that God has said has been achieved. The greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself, or love your neighbor as yourself, or love you one another, right? The truth of the matter is, that's a constant thing, Mama. That's something constant. That means we got to keep on doing this. When you piss me off, I got to keep on doing it. When somebody cuts me off, I got to keep on doing it. When somebody broke into our house, I had to keep on doing. We had to keep on doing this love thing. And so since we had to keep on doing this love thing, and we know that this is summing up everything, then don't be putting aside, y'all, some stuff like it don't matter, because it's hard for you to understand or to grasp how it's going to be accomplished, how the purpose is going to get achieved. Because everybody's not getting everything at the same time. There's some folk in our city that don't have nothing to eat today, but yet I just ate a salad before I got on the air tonight. Everything does happen at the same time. Somebody may bless that person for some food later on. They ate at a different time. And so it is with the Word of God. We eat at different times. And if we can get that and leave some of this other foolishness alone that comes into our space, oh, yeah, you'll be able to learn some things. So let me go. Let me tell you one more thing about the brain. One more thing about the brain, Mama. And you know how it is. Just interrupt. Here's what we got to understand about the brain. Our brain is separated into two hemispheres, the left brain, right brain. You know, you may hear people say the left brain function and right brain functions. Well, on the left side, you have things like reasoning, right? Thinking about things like A squared plus B squared equals C squared. How the heck I figure that out? I'm only six, right? Reasoning, right? Our written language, you know, how we write, you know, reading. If you're more inclined to your left hemisphere of your brain, then you have right control functions. Like you're going to probably be right. You're going to be right-handed, right? I say right. If you're more inclined to your a right hemisphere brain functions than your left-handed, right? You have more control on your left side of your body. Another thing that goes on with that right hemisphere is things like music, things like art, things like imagination, things like intuition. Those things are people that are more inclined to the left brain, to the right hemisphere, right? So I said all that to say, not to be too technical, but here's the deal. God created us, and every one of us have a brain. Now, how we develop depends on how we're fed. It depends on the ones who have charge over us, meaning our parents, meaning our early childhood education practitioners, which help formulate and form how we think about stuff. Isn't it amazing? Let me get, this is going to be an education thing, right? Isn't it amazing how – let me say this. My baby girl is flying in to see me. She wanted to see me, so she's flying in tomorrow. So I'm so happy. And it's funny because in the spare bedroom, I have a picture of something that she drew when she was like four, maybe three also. And it's interesting how at the time that she drew this 17 years ago, 18 years ago, she brings this home, or when I picked her up from daycare, right? And she says, "Daddy," and she shows this. What do I do as a parent? I'm like, "Baby, I like that." Now, we say that as parents, regardless of what it looks like, because their imagination, their intuition, their awareness of art, they're doing what they know. And you had to be really kind of mean and nasty as a father or a mother to be like, "What is this garbage? I got something on the refrigerator. I got something in the spare bedroom. I'm going to pull all that out. I love doing stuff like that." And she'd be like, "Daddy, stop." I'm like, "No, I got this stuff still hanging up because it's important." Why am I saying all that? I'll get to Taz in a minute. We go out, we be fine. Because at the early stages in our life, we are told, we are encouraged that it's okay to be a certain way. When you draw those birds that just look like two, like a W, when you draw on a painting, when you draw on stick figures, that's what you know. You're doing it by your imagination, right? You're doing it with your awareness of art and all that stuff, right? And this is what happens. The older we get through our traditional educational system, all of those right hemisphere brain functions, less emphasis is put onto those things. And because less is put on, and now so much is put on the left hemisphere of the brain, the reading, the writing, the arithmetic, right? And so your ability to think, your ability to imagine, your ability to be able to sit still and sit quiet for a minute, that's not what the educational system that most of us have grown up in puts us towards. So now it's about the rat race. I got 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. I got to get this. It's not about thinking. It's not about trying to figure out another way. It's not about letting God reveal something to you. You got to get this so that I know that you may that you know this. So now when you start dealing with things of the spirit, it's so many folks are messed up in the head, mama. And I'm not talking about like, you know, it's like psycho, but mm-hmm. messed up in the head because they can't receive what God has for them because they're like, nope. Let me go segue into nope. My pastor said I'm supposed to tithe. Okay, but where in the Bible does it say? But I know I'm supposed to do it. I got you. But where in the Bible does it say that you're supposed to tithe? Well, it says it in Malachi. Well, what does it say in Malachi? Well, you know, and then now we're going to shut off the conversation. Because this whole thing about thinking, using the brain that God gave you, is like a foreign object. It's like a UFO. And God is like, listen, I want my people to get back to a place where you were when you were like a little child. Before you knew everything, Doc. Before you knew everything. Before you were indoctrinated with so many things. Before you really understood what hate was, but you were participating in it before you really knew what hate was. I want you to get back to a state of just being humble. Saying, you know what? Let me listen and let me see what the Lord is going to say in this. Well, let me go here because I know I could smell somebody thinking. Maybe not right now listening, but somebody later on down the road as they read this or as they listen to this. You know, somebody may say, okay, well, you know, what about that scripture? How can they hear without somebody preaching to them? Okay, well, let's talk about that. We're talking about something that's in the Word of God. We're not talking about the gospel per se. Because there's a whole lot more in the Bible than the gospel, the good news of Jesus the Christ. So if that's all you're focused on, then you focus strictly on nothing but those four gospels, and you let that be your total litmus tool for everything. You're going to miss out on some stuff, I guarantee, but you focus on that. But the rest of us, we understand that we have to focus on some other things that give us a better understanding of the good news. All right, Mama. Comments? Anybody else? Sometimes you gotta lay some foundation.
Well, you're saying that, what's coming to my mind is that, you know, when I was introduced to the Bible, it was introduced to me as this is the Word of God.
Infallible.
It wasn't introduced to me about. Okay, you have the New and Old Testament. When I was born again and coming to the kingdom of God, my pastor says, this Bible here, and he held it up. He said, this is the Word of God. And every word on it is anointed.
Mm. Okay.
Every word on it is anointed. Because why? Because it comes from God. And it's like an orange, as you were saying. You know, you can read it, and then God will reveal something to you. And then you read it again and say, oh, my God, I didn't know that. So the whole Bible, that's the Word of God. And as they say, the Word works. Because I can look in the Old Testament and see Psalm 37, fret not because of workers of iniquity. Don't fret about what has happened to you and how they hurt your feelings. And then I can go to the New Testament, and they're talking about the crucifixion, how Jesus died on the cross. So it's just the word. It's just, and the word is so powerful. Because when I gave my life to the Lord, I confessed the word. I confessed what my pastor said to me. And I could tell it was a change in me. That's how powerful the word is. Amen.
Yep, Mama. And I'm glad you had that experience, because so many other folk have just said what people have said to tell them to say. So many people, they said it out of their mouth, and they're like, okay, I'm good. But there's this walking this salvation out is a whole lot more past that moment in time when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, if that's how you did it. You got folks that say, if you don't say it, like if you don't say a sinner's prayer, show me a sinner. Okay, I'm not getting into that. I'm calm down. I'm not even because there's different experiences. I mean, this is serious. There's different experience for different people. And there's different people in this country, different people in your community, different people in your church, different people in our individual families. And we all have different experiences when it comes to things of the Bible. So let's think about this. The question is the destination of the tithe a secret? How do you even get to a place where you can even answer a question like that? First of all, the Bible is not going to show you a clear-cut definition to say X, Y, or Z in a lot of matters, a lot of matters. So, yes, it's a guide, but here's what I got to get everybody to understand tonight. For a long period of time, remember I talked about the mind. I need folks to think tonight. Before there was a written Bible in America, before there was a King James version of the Bible in England, how did our ancestors operate with God? Oh, hold on, Dr. Dunlap. Well, you know, listen. We come from an oral tradition, which means that, and we come from a culture where elders were important and valued in the community and in the family structure. So there wasn't a need for everybody to have their own individual interpretation. There wasn't a need for everybody to say, I need to read it in the word for myself. No, Joker, if you was living on this earth 2,000 years ago, you weren't reading everything. You was listening. And if you come from the motherland, you was listening. But they had a Bible. We had a Bible over there, too. So I say all that to say that this conversation, and it may extend into next month, is not about that the Bible is not relevant. No, because we're going to go there. But here's what God has given us. He's given us the Rhema word of God and the Logos word. The Rhema word is the Spirit of God. That word that you hear. The Logos word is the written word of God, whether it's on a scroll, a piece of parchment, whether it's the physical Bibles that we have. And if everything that you're trying to get understanding about on some of these matters that especially we deal with within PRF, if you think that you're going to get every answer in the Logos word of God, you'll miss it almost every time. Because before the Logos word of God was the Spirit of God. And for some reason, I just believe, Mama, everybody listening, that the Spirit of God worked some very good wonders before we had a book. Now, some of y'all, I'm losing some of y'all, so let me pick you up. I'm not saying the Bible is not valuable. I'm not saying the Bible is not relevant. But what I am saying is this. If there is no Spirit, with what you're reading, that's problematic. Point number two, if there's no spirit, in absence of where the word does not speak specifically to something, uh-oh, you in trouble, Jack, because then it becomes easier for folks to manipulate you. It becomes easier for folks to say, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it. When we bring up tithes sometimes, Mama, some folks, you know what folks go straight to talking about? What their pastors have said. What they've been taught. Let me tell you something. I got an earned doctorate degree from seminary, and I got a master's of arts in theological studies, focusing on concentration on ethics from seminary, and then a couple other degrees. But let me tell you something that they don't teach. Let me tell you that's not in most what we're talking about. This is not in most seminaries. Many seminaries, let me say that because I haven't done the research, but many seminaries, a whole bunch of them, of helping people and dealing with people that have questions about what we're talking about. I'm glad. That way when we introduce it to the seminaries, we have it on lock, Mama. So I'm good. But but these are individuals that are trained to be your pastors. Answering some of these questions like I just brought up, and I know y'all like, man, he ain't gonna get to it, I get to it when I get to it. Is the destination of the tithe a secret? Because see, when you ask a question like that, that opens it up to having a conversation, and it may expose and bring up some things about why people do or do not do certain things. You may tithe, Mama, because you're getting a report every month. So you know, because you can see X amount of dollars is coming to the church through tithes. You see that. You see the offerings. You see that. Some folk that never get a report, got questions when the report comes through, nobody want to answer, we ain't got time to deal with that, set up an appointment, have a whole different perspective about the destination of the tithe. And the truth of the matter is this, and then we'll get into it. You have no idea what the destination of the tithe is if the destination stops at the door of the church or the finance room. If that's where your understanding about the destination of the tithe, if it stops right there, you have no idea where the destination is. Dr. Dunlap, why are you going there? Listen, folks got questions. So, the Rhema word, written word, there's some things that the Spirit has to reveal to us in absence of the written word on certain things that you have questions about. You got a question about something. I can't just say, well, just go find it in the Bible, huh? Okay, when you never find it, where does that leave you? Sometimes God is going to just reveal stuff to us. And we need to honor that. We need to honor that. We need to honor it. We need to honor it, especially as religious leaders. Because the truth be told, in this same Bible, the Spirit of God will speak to somebody other than the one that's in leadership. As Bishop Zimmerman would say, uh-oh, somebody. Yeah. Yeah. I could point you to a couple of references where the Spirit of God spoke to somebody other than the leader, other than the one who had position. I'm sorry, can we talk about Daniel? I'm sorry, how many kings can we talk about? Talk about Nathan the prophet? I'm talking, well, okay, hold on. Let's talk about Stephen. So let's get away from those type of crazy thoughts. Say let's push past those things, and let's look at some good stuff. Whew. All right. If you got something that you want to say, I know I said a lot. Just press one. Bring in. Let's get into the conversation. All right. So there's a couple of scriptures that we're gonna go to. We're gonna go to a couple of scriptures. Whatever we get to tonight, we get to. Whatever we don't, we don't. All right? So we're going to bring one caller in, and we're going to see where this goes, Mama.
Yes,
all righty. So we got the Mark here that wants to join into this conversation. I knew he wasn't going to sit back for all the whole evening. Go ahead, Brother Mark. What's good, sir?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight? How you doing, Mama?
Just fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing good. How about you, Dr. D?
Oh man, I'm doing good.
Good, good.
I'm doing real good.
You're talking on it. It's a touchy subject, and there's a plethora of ideas of where people feel like the tithe should go, and most people, basically what they are taught is where you're getting fed, that's where you tie that. But I'm sure before the night's over with, the scriptures that you will give will probably kind of go against some of that thinking. Like you said, the other night when we were up in Opelika, ministering with the men up there, and we're talking about the destination of the tithe. And so this is just a small testimony of it, is where I was intending to tithe. I was intending to take my tithe, and I was intending to give my tithe to PRF. But I came across a young lady that was in need of a job, and she didn't have any transportation. So I took my tithe, and she has three kids. So I gave her part of the tithe for groceries. And then I turned around and gave her the rest of the tithe because she had a job interview to go to. And it was probably about 25, 30 miles away. So I gave her money, the tithe, to get an Uber and go on a job interview. Well, that tithe or that seed, when it was planted, God multiplied it. And what happened, and not only that, I forgot to tell you as well, she was, of course, she was without a job in September. And here it is, we were into 2018. I think she got that job maybe in February, beginning of February. And so here she is. She hadn't paid. She hadn't made her mortgage payment from September up until February. She said she was $8,000 behind. Didn't have a car. Needed a car, but she only had $900. And so, like I said, I gave that tithe, and I prayed and I asked the Lord. I said, let somebody just put the car, just drop the car in the lap. And God allowed there to be no lack in anything. And so she was able to get a car for significantly less than what they were asking for it. They took what she had. The car needed a battery. They bought the battery. She didn't have a way to get the car. They brought the car and dropped it off in the yard. She got the job, and then she received a $9,000 check to catch up her house payment. And that's all off of a tithe, the seed that was planted. Now, if I had the mindset that has been taught with a lot of people, then I would have skipped past the church, which was her, the ecclesia, and took it to a building. And not known what that seed would have done. Would have had a speculation, but God showed me in just planting that seed, how that one seed, how many times it multiplied. And it's just amazing. And this is my personal opinion. And I just know because the Holy Spirit brought it to me that if more people would start doing things of that nature, they would truly start seeing the tithe. They would see the multiplication of it. But I, like I said, I understand because I too was there one time where my tithe was solely designated to where I was being taught. But once you, like I said, I know you'll cover that tonight. You'll see that God has designated places. Or has a designated place, and that only comes through Rhema.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh boy, Charlie. Yeah, we gonna be on this for a while. We're gonna be on this till God say stop. So. One thing I'm not trying to do, I'm not trying to tell y'all where the destination is supposed to be. That's so y'all can go ahead and just know that up front. I'm not trying to tell y'all where the destination is. Because here's the truth of the matter. And, man, this was going to get you. You should never be able to trace the final destination of your tithes. Think about it. You should really never be, this is not the Bible. Just follow this in the spirit. You should never really be able to trace the final destination of your tithes. Anybody have any idea why I say that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I personally agree with that. I go as far as to just say if you took a tithe and you did pay it to the church, and people, they have missionary groups that go out,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Africa or wherever it may be. Your tithe can go to the other side of the world. So I agree with that. I mean, you could, it's the only, you know, your tithe, if used in the correct fashion, like you said, it will take it across the world. It will take you across the world. So I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. We, I won't say we, I guess I have to say this. A lot of you listening have said openly out of your mouths, the tithe is for the church. The tithe is to pay. We pay our bills for the church out of the tithes. We pay the pastor's salary. Forget all the other folks that's on staff, but, you know, we pay the pastor's salary. And you can't tell me, and nor can you show me where that's biblical from a tithing perspective. It's not biblical. Yet that's where a lot of people are. And just take your example, Mark. You have no idea, because that story, y'all, that testimony goes way beyond the tithing narrative. It goes to the principle of just giving. Because whether it was the whole tithe that Mark gave, that you gave Mark to her, or whether you gave her $50 because that's what she needed. Duh, people listening, the principle is still the same. There's a purpose for what we give, be it a tithe or be it an offering. And the truth of the matter is, and I cover this in the course, tithing not a law or love, you can't really understand tithing without a foundation of giving. We're going to go as long as we go tonight, y'all. When God gave the law, the command to tithe, you got to understand something. He said this to people who already had wealth. Do you remember when the children of Israel left from Egypt? They left with all that they had. They weren't broke. They was just in bondage and slavery. They weren't broke, though, but they had stuff. But not only did they leave with all that they had, right? Their cattle and mode of transportation and things like that. They also left with what the Egyptians gave them.
Yep.
The gold and silver of the Egyptians. So listen to this. So they're in the wilderness, right? So if you go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books of the Torah, the Pentateuch. Right, excuse me, not the Torah, the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. They left with all of this. And yet, in Leviticus, that's about 30 days at the bottom of the mountain. And then in the book of Numbers, Numbers covers a period of 39 years and about 10 months. That's the wilderness experience. And then the Deuteronomy covers about a month, the other month. And so it's amazing to me, just think on this, that the whole time they were in the wilderness, God never required them to tithe. You can't tell me that they did not have increase, because whatever they got from the Egyptians before they left Egypt was increase. Theologically, somebody may want to go there and say, well, that was being repaid. God was repaying them back for all of their slavery and bondage. Okay, 40 acres and a mule, you can take it there if you want to in the liberation theology. But that ain't what my Bible say. But I get it if you want to go there. But you can read why they gave them what they gave them. But God didn't require them to tithe in the wilderness. Yet they were in possession of a whole lot. Here's another thing. Not only was that the case, when God spoke to them about tithing, gave the command or the law of tithing, when he spoke to Aaron, when he spoke to Moses, when they spoke to the people, you know what God didn't make them do? In the wilderness, with all that stuff, he ain't make them tithe at that time either. So if this thing was about just hurry up and giving it up when you get it, God had plenty of opportunities. But you have to understand that when he gave those laws, when he gave the command to tithe, he gave that for them and how they were supposed to operate as one of their principles, one of their laws of operation, I say God's commerce, once they got into the promised land. So nobody should be able to beat anybody up about, okay, you're a Christian now. Now you need to tithe next week. First of all, a whole bunch of folk that get saved out of emotionalism. Let's be honest. A whole bunch of folk get saved out of being broken. Let's be honest. Not physically broken, but mentally broken, emotionally broken, and a lot of times financially broken. And they believe that Christ is the way. Okay. Well, You can't tell me that God does not want you to budget your money. You can't tell me that God wants you to mess over one of your creditors in order to give money into the church. You can't tell me that. I love somebody, we can go and debate that all day long. But I will be able to really show you that that is not a biblical or a kingdom principle. Matter of fact, it goes against what Jesus said, love thy neighbor. Mark, I owe you $100. Now I joined the church today. I'm supposed to pay you your $100 tomorrow. I hear a message on giving. You need to give. You need to give out of the bottom of your heart. I give your $100 into the church. And then I got to trust God to give it back to me to give it to you? No, you trusted me to give it to you. How do you explain that one? No, we can't explain it. It ain't biblical and it ain't of God. Not coming how it comes down like we know what we're talking about. Because that is totally antithetical to what Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm a dump on you, and you trusted me, my neighbor, to give me this $100 to go do whatever that I didn't have. So no, I don't give that back to you. I done gave it to somebody else. I gave it to the church. I was about to say where they do that at, but they do it at a lot of places. A question came up the other day. If the church gave as much consideration to your family's financial situation as it does the church's financial situation when it comes to giving, things would be a whole lot different. What do I mean? Because in church, in the moments, we know people give in the moments. It ain't coincidental that the time that you give in church is after the sermon. Come on, man. That ain't coincidental. That's strategic. That's strategic. But there's plenty of places out here that actually don't even take up offerings. And I can tell you 100% that you don't hear about them having financial problems because the people give as they're led. I don't know why y'all got me there, but hey, this is open dialogue, so we ain't got no topic tonight. We there. Let me bring Bishop Zimmerman in because I think she been trying to hold her mule for a little while, and I ain't watching. Uh oh. Uh oh. Uh oh. Uh oh. Uh oh. Uh oh. For some reason, Bishop, we hear a very large echo. Did anybody else hear that, or was that just me?
Yes, I heard it.
You heard it? Bishop,
yes,
maybe you
I
can hang
it.
Up and call back, because I see you showing on two separate lines. So maybe you can hang up and then call back in, and we'll bring you in when you come back. We may be here for a little while. Okay, so I'm dealing with this text of in Leviticus. I got a text in Leviticus that I wanted to just bring up, and then also another one in the book of Numbers. So I'm gonna see if we hold on for a moment. But Mark, Mama, y'all got anything? Let's just have fun with this.
I was just pondering over when they were in the wilderness and they did have they had everything in the wilderness. You know, they had jewelry. You know, they had, I mean, it was like they left, you know, rich. And you were saying that God did not require them tithes and offerings. And that's just interesting.
Tithes, not tithes and offerings, tithes.
I mean, but just tithes, yes. Just tithe, you know. I just it's a rhema word for me, you know. And I have heard, you know, testimonies how I was thinking about you, Brother Mark, how people have given away their. I've heard, you know, people say, well, you know, I don't care if I don't pay my mortgage or whatnot. I'm gonna give to God, you know, and then. I'm saying to myself, okay, then you go to the church, you go to their church, and then the church said, no, they cannot help you. And then some do, they get so offended until they don't want anything else to do with the church. You know, so it's just, you know, I just thank God for it. Like he says, get knowledge and, you know, and we have to be, I'm just saying, you know, we invite Christ all over. We have to be open-minded, you know, because God does not want us to be ignorant.
And what I like to say, Mama, is not so much my language, not so much open-minded, is allow the Spirit in.
Okay, yes,
right?
That sounds better.
See, I could be open-minded about something and then closed-minded about a whole lot. So my thing is just be in a place of receiving from the Holy Spirit, because if what I'm saying is wrong, and I had this conversation with a pastor a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, he was talking to me about, you know, all these Facebook Lives I was doing for a couple weeks ago, and I said, listen, if anything that I've said was biblically inaccurate, and I always say, hey, y'all jump into this. Let's converse about this. And you don't jump in, nor do you come to me afterwards and say, bro, you was off about that. You said it was 11 commandments, but it's only 10 in the book of Exodus, right? You don't say nothing, and so you let all those folk be out there with information that you know is wrong. I said, bro, you got just as much blood on your hands as I do on mine. Truth be told, yeah. So we can't be in this place of not being open for the Spirit of God to speak, but we also have to open up our own mouths when we hear something, say, oh, need to be co-signing on what we know is the Word of God. Not what Pastor Mark keep telling you Sunday after Sunday, hitting you with the beatdown scripture on tithing, Malachi chapter 3. Nah, that ain't what we need to be co-signing on. We need to be co-signing on, what does God say? Matter of fact, I'm going to go here on one. Again, we threw that question out there. That's a question for everybody to think about. What is the destination of the tithe a secret? But, you know, Mama, you mentioned, I know this is relevant. I know it's relevant as an older believer. The Bible clearly states, and I'm not going to give every scripture tonight, but the Bible clearly states, that there were some people to benefit from the tithe. One was the Levite.
Yes.
But guess who else was supposed to benefit from the tithe at a certain point? Huh? The Levitical priest. Right,
okay.
the Levites, the Levitical priest, right? But also the foreigners that was living among them.
Oh, yes.
Guess who else? Also the widows. Also the orphans. And see, you think about what you just said. Who else was supposed, who's supposed to benefit of the tithe? The priest. Somehow it's got out there, Mark, that the one that's really supposed to be benefiting of this is the preacher, the pastor. Hold on, Jack. That ain't what my Bible say. My Bible talks about the widow, the foreigners, and the orphans. And so there's a need for examination, and this is how we'll be teaching this too. This is how we'll be teaching. If you don't take the opportunity to ask a question, you take the opportunity to ask the question. We got 12 widows in my church. How are they making it? How do 12 widows, how are they making it? Okay, we got this is gonna mess some folks up. What does a foreigner look like in today's culture? Foreigners living among you, huh? Well, I think that would spark some of the immigration and conversation. But am I supposed to say, well, you know, we ain't talking about them foreigners. Am I supposed to go there? So who's the foreigners in our towns? Oh no, we can't do that. No. Hold on. But they in your town. And you know the thing about the one of the biggest things about these verses that I'm kind of throwing out there to us is how the Lord says, not Dunlap, but the Lord says that you must do this for all future generations. Well, I'm sorry, our generations ain't gone. Obey them as long as you live. That's what the Lord said. So if the Lord said that, how do I get to decide where the tithe stops? In my bank or the church bank? How do I get to decide that? And be foundationally and theologically sound. I don't understand it, Mark. I don't understand it.
Me either. I'm trying to think of that scripture because I was listening to what your mom said about, you know, people inconveniencing themselves, not paying their mortgage or rent and paying their tithe. I'm just paraphrasing where it said that it should, basically, it shouldn't be a burden to you to do that. I'm trying to think of exactly what that scripture is. You know which one I'm talking about?
You're talking about 2 Corinthians scripture. Chapter 8.
What's the name of it now? I mean, where is it?
Oh, I was going to say that it's a scripture that say that we don't owe any man.
Mm-mm.
Don't owe any man, and I forgot the rest of it, but it's saying, in other words, they're saying that you need to pay your bills.
Well, nah. We hear those, and folks have said that's okay. What things mean, but context
okay.
is very, very important. We can talk about that one, but the one that Brother Mark
okay.
was speaking about is in 2 Corinthians
okay.
chapter 8. If you want to find it, I'm going to let y'all talk for a moment. I'm going to take me a little quick break and get Bishop Zimmerman on the line because he's been trying to get in for a few moments. So I'll be right back.
Okay.
Y'all keep going.
Okay. Okay. Brother Mark, you have the floor.
I'm trying to, let's see here.
If I'm echoing, just let me know. I'm trying to find that. I am trying to find that because it's something in there that's talking about that where it shouldn't be a burden. But I'm just paraphrasing.
Okay.
And so when let's see, and where did he say 2 Corinthians? What was it, 2 Corinthians? What
it is? It was 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's see. Okay, where is it? Now, the heading of it is it talks about the collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 9.
Where y'all at again?
2 Corinthians 8.
Chapter 8, verse 13, or verse 12, really.
Okay. Okay.
Whatever you give in proportion, you know, whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly and give according
yes.
to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourself. I only mean there should be some type of equality.
That's it. That's it. That's,
mm-hmm.
that's the one of them.
Oh,
it.
And then it goes on to say, right now you have plenty. Right now you have plenty. You can help some other folk in need.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what you can do right now. But later on, when you have a need, they'll have plenty, and they can share with you.
Yes.
Then things will be equal.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Equal.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one. But that seems to that's something when a person is doing something like that. That's what they need to be reading.
Hmm.
And you know, God,
yeah.
you know, and also the Bible says, you know, the poor are always be among us. You know,
ah,
so it's
but
you,
see, Mama, you
correct me.
You on point. It does say that, but I'm going to need you to start writing down some of them questions that challenge our mind and our thinking because like Brother Mark told me the other day, now Dr. Dunlap, you poking holes in some stuff now. You can't just leave them right there.
Okay.
Because, yes,
okay.
the Bible does say that the poor will be among you always, but what is that talking about? And see, the bottom line is, okay, if the poor is going to be among us, then what do we do for the poor?
We should help them.
In the scripture that you used, right, is even in Deuteronomy. And so when it talks about there will always be some poor in the land, the question is, who are they talking about? Was he talking about poor Israelites? Was he talking about widows, orphans? Was he talking about foreigners? But at the end of the day, if we're in a kingdom minded economic system. Then we don't have to get wrapped around the axle about there being some poor folks among us.
Okay.
Some folk that don't have some of the means. Can I share this with you? Bishop Zimmerman, I'm going to let you, you can get in whenever you want to get in. It's like double Dutch.
All right now.
I hear you.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Oh, we're good. Let me say this. I'm going to let her, Bishop Zimmerman, get in. I'll say this. I'll make a very bold statement. If more churches, because I know there's some of them out there, if more churches were being true to the tithe, there'd be less folk in poverty. Because the people who are not doing the best would be partaking and receiving of the tithe if the system was running like it's supposed to. But go, Bishop Zimmerman, I'm so glad we got you. I'm glad we got you.
Well, I'm excited to. But I was listening and enjoying everything, and what I was thinking after the gentleman gave the awesome testimony is that many times we, and I don't know if you shared this already, but many times we fail to remember in Malachi that the storehouse was representing each and every one of us that are the kingdom citizens, and that those that believed in the kingdom, in Christ, in God, you know, we represent the storehouse, not just an edifice, but us, the body. You know, when you go into reading the book of Acts, you know, what did they do? They went and they distributed to all as needed, so that everybody had a need, you know, were able to meet, have their needs met. Everybody didn't, nobody lacked. And that's how the kingdom of God was blessed. Also, when you go back and talk about, you know, tithing and first fruits and things like that, they also referred to in the Old Testament as far as the grain, their harvest. We also fail to remember that in that we also need to equate our time, our talents, as well as our finances. And when we do those things with the love of God to in the kingdom and distribute, you know, God is glorified. You know, God is truly glorified in that thing. And when someone is lacking, how is God glorified? He's not. He's not. Mm-hmm. He's not. And that is the thing that, you know, a lot of churches will manipulate. Yeah, you know, light bills have to be paid in the edifice. Water bill has to be paid. Sewage bills have to be paid. Yes, those things have to be. To be able to do certain ministries, have to. It requires finances. We get that. But at the same token, we cannot negate the fact that the storehouse, the church, is us. And if we're not taken care of, the building definitely can't be taken care of.
I've been saying that for years. And that's why it's so important what we do at PRF, because I'm not concerned about your church building. The truth of the matter is there's been plenty of churches that have burnt down. They did not shut down. Guess what they did? They made a phone call, that phone call that they wouldn't make any other time, but they made a phone call to the church up the street and said, can we meet in your sanctuary on Sunday evening, because you know what happened to us. And some of them have come together and have done things together because their church only had 15 members and had a 250 member congregation or member seated. So when stuff goes on, we continuously see people making certain decisions. Watch this. You mentioned the church. See, I know we have one of the things. I won't say we. I'm trying to not make people do stuff. I want the spirit to be like, look, man, stop being stupid. Do this. And if we talk about tithing and talk about tithing and the church needs the tithes,
then we've taken it totally out of a biblical context from the perspective of what God said the tithe was supposed to be used for. Think about this. When God spoke to Moses in Leviticus about tithing, there was no church. There was no fixed church building. There was no fixed temple. They had the tabernacle, which was mobile. Okay. In Deuteronomy, when God spoke to Moses, Moses spoke to the people. When they get into the book of Numbers and they're talking about tithing, they're talking about tithing that ain't had nothing to do with a fixed building nor a fixed structure. So the question that I have is, how was the tabernacle taken care of? Let me take it away from the land of Canaan, and let's go to the temple. Let's go to Kings, and let's go. How you say it, Bishop? Come here, David. Come here, Solomon. You say it some more great way like that. I like that.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll let you say it. It sounds better when you say it. But let's go into Kings. Let's go into Chronicles. The physical temple, right? The temple that Solomon built. How is that taken care of? You don't read nothing about tithes being the mode of taking care of the temple. But the temple was taken care of. So do the people take care of the building? Or is it your tithes are supposed to take care of the building? Well, hold on, Dr. Dunlap. We know we got bills. Okay. Come on, Mark. Mark knows it better than I do. We know a whole bunch of churches that God ain't told them to do that. God ain't told them to sign that lease. No, that's what folk wanted to do. So, yeah, there's no question why some things can't be done, because the money's not going to where it's supposed to go anyway. See, when you go to the Bible and you say, let's talk about the destinations of the Bible when it comes to tithe. The first destination, Mark already said it, the place where God chose for his name to be honored. That's the first destination. The other destinations were the Levites, the widows, the orphans, and the foreigners. Those were people destinations. But what God said was, store it up in your nearest town. Huh? Store it up in my nearest town. So this whole thing about a storehouse, if we're going to take it and say tithes, and we're going to bring tithes into the storehouse. I've said it before, when I was in Guyana, South America, I saw a storehouse personally, and that thing was huge, filled with rice. So guess what? If people needed it, it was there. It was there. So how do we deal with that in a 21st century church, westernized church at that? Well, the tithe comes into the church. Okay. Well, let's go back to what Mama said. Where's the accountability? Who's benefiting from the tithe? Because there was a benefit for the tithe, biblically. Question is, in the church, all my pastors and religious leaders, what's the purpose of the tithe? If it's about paying bills, then you're taking it out of a biblical context. Here's what I say, y'all, and I'm going to be done. Just own up to it is what I say. If you know you're bringing in $100,000, you know we're bringing in $100,000 a year in tithes and offerings. And we know out of that $100,000, I'm going to get $50,000 because I'm the pastor. That's what we agreed to. Then just own it. But it shouldn't be hidden from the people. It shouldn't be hidden from the people. Folks shouldn't, if a storehouse is what a storehouse is, and you can physically see it and you can see stuff in it, then how do we say that don't matter when it comes to the church today? But yet I want you to keep bringing it. I tell you what. Let me calm down, Bishop. I tell you what. Let me have my money direct deposited from the federal government or the Army or the Marines or whatever every first and third Friday, every 1st and 15th? Let me have my money direct deposited to whatever bank. And when I go to make a withdrawal, it ain't there. There's something wrong with that financial institution. They got some problems, and they're going to have problems with me. Same thing with the tithe. It's me, this Dunlap saying this, y'all. Same thing with the tithe. If people are not able to make a withdrawal, then you have to ask the question, what is it being used for? Mama, you mentioned something earlier about somebody saying, well, I don't care, come hell or high water, I'm going to pay my tithes. Well, that's part of the problem, paying it, but I'm going to pay my tithes. Okay, now, pay your tithes, be a good steward, you believe in that, you trust in God. Now, trust God enough, you do it with a cheerful heart, you believe that you're supposed to do it, I won't tell anybody don't do that. Know what I'm going to tell them, Bishop? Y'all ain't ready for this one. Don't be late on your mortgage. Don't be late on your mortgage. Go right to that same church and say, I trusted God enough. And you give them the scripture that men will give unto your bosom, the same one they throw at you. Uh-oh.
Yeah,
uh-oh.
That's
mm-hmm. Give it back to them. And I say that not being manipulative. You believe in this thing of tithing so strong that you say, listen, I don't want to mess up. I get it. I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. That's honorable. God will bless you for your obedience, those of you who do that. But don't sit there and not ask for when you know the reason that you don't have is because of what you did to be obedient to God. That's the craziness. Mama, you know what? I give like I give, and I'm going to sit here, my family hungry, after all I deposited into the storehouse? I don't care that I deposited 2 years ago. I don't care that I left the church. Bishop, I don't care that I left your church. God had me move on 3 years ago, but I was there for 10. If I can't come back and get nothing from you, something wrong. Oh, that's going too deep, Mark. Is it going too deep, bro? That's going too deep. Yeah, because the tithing relationship only matters as long as you got active membership there.
Not to the kingdom, but just to the church. Just to the field. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It only matters where you at right now, because you said some people say this, y'all said it. You tithe where you're fed. You tithe where you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I done stored up where I was going. But now that I'm no longer there, it done went. I mean, these are questions. I don't say these things to cause any type, and Lord knows this is not about causing any division, but God has given us these brains, and he's given us the ability to be able to look into the scriptures, the same book that they told, like you said, Mama, this is the word of God. In certain circles, they call it the infallible word of God. Well, it's infallible. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to look in it. And now that I see this, let's talk about it. Nobody should be struggling. That's trusting God with tithes. For trusting God with tithes. Now, if you tithe and you decide to do some crazy stuff, then you may have to go through that period of lack. Because God may say, listen, you had enough to live, but you decide to waste it. So, you know, I don't know all that. I can't say that's everybody's case. But please, nah, ain't no way in the world I tell anybody. When people tell me that they tithe, and I look at some of the conditions that some people are in, and I say, why are you tithing? Because the Lord requires it. Okay. Lord requires it, but you begging for rides to get to work. And you got a neighbor to live next door that has to drive by your job to get to their job. You waiting for God to bless you with a car. God has already blessed you because he blessed you with a mouth to open and hands to go knock on the door.
Well,
Matthew 7:7-8. It's in Luke 2. Same thing. So we done got. Let me hear y'all. We done took it somewhere today.
You know, I was thinking about when you were talking about emotion, being emotional. Mm-hmm. I heard a sister say that they had gone to a seminar, and the spirit mm-hmm. was so high. And they were asking, you know, of course, they were asking, you know, for donations. And she said she just knew that God had told her to put her whole check
mm-hmm.
into the offering. I mean, into that, because it was into the offering. Mm-hmm. And then she said when the service was over, it just like, it dawned on her, oh, my gosh, I don't have any money. I gave all my money. So she said what she did is that she went to the pastor and told the pastor. And so the pastor, you know, gave her her money back.
Well.
You know, gave her check back, you know. But see, we just caught up in our emotion and our emotions we do. As you say, you know, she just caught up in it, and she really believed it, you know. But she said when everything was over, it just dawned on her because she was living from paycheck to paycheck. So now she has nothing. So, you know, she realized, she didn't say it this way, but I think she just realized, is this God telling me? Because now I don't have any money.
Well, number one, that's not tithing, right? You said just give her a whole check. Right?
No.
So give her a whole check. And the second thing is, that's problematic because what she did was she used logic after the fact.
Yes.
That's dangerous because mm-hmm. through faith, she said, I'm believing that she felt that God was urging her or the spirit was directing her to give up her whole check.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that
correct.
The case?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then to say, man, I ain't got no money now. Lord knew that when he told you to do it. So that's kind of, for me, that's kind of problematic because she used logic to try to deal with something of faith, and that don't work like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When God told Abram, get your grip and roll, leave your family, 2 days into it, he could be like, man, I don't know where the heck I'm going. I know he said he's going to shoot me. I don't know where the heck I'm going. I'm going back. Yeah. I think that would have been problematic, too. Ain't no telling what God would have done for her. But she done reversed something. That's crazy. That's
mm-hmm.
Mm.
I learned a statement that if it's God's will, it's God's will.
Mm.
In other words, if God truly tells you to do something, he's going to provide everything you need. It ain't, you don't have to worry about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot sit up there and use logic with faith. There's no way possible.
Right.
Because God, when he has us to exercise faith, it may be something that is totally impossible in the natural. If you sit there and think about that thing too long, You know, just like the great example that you just gave. Who, in if you sit and think about it long enough, will go somewhere not knowing where they go? But if
That's
you
right.
exercise faith in knowing that God said, okay, go, just trust me, just go. Go this, go, just go. Then if you're obedient, then you will see the anticipated promise. You'll see the full manifestation.
Yeah. I'm going to throw something else out here, too, before we go. What's your thoughts? I'm going to ask y'all. What's your thoughts when, I mean, we heard Mark's testimony. We heard how God just blessed in that. And that was the Spirit that led that. Now, what the Spirit led Mark to do doesn't mean that I could do the same thing if the Spirit is not leading me, and I should not expect to get the same results if the Spirit did not lead me, right? Because some folk may want to take that and say, we can do what we want to do with the tithe. And then some folks will say, well, because I'm going through some situation, this is where I'm going, because I'm going through, you know, somebody say, yeah, them school pictures and prom is coming up for my baby. You know, I make the same amount of money every week, so, you know, I got to do this. I can't let my baby be, you know, disappointed and not go to the prom. And, you know, it costs $200 for that hairdo and got to have the nails done, you know, all that stuff. And so people will hold back off their tithe sometimes, right? We think we know this because of situations going on with them. But what got me in Mark last week or the other day when one of the brothers said, when he talked about options, when we read what we read, he said, I see that God has given options. And I'm like, that's a good way of looking at it. And so that night I came in and that thing of options just was on me. And I just kept looking. I looked at some more scriptures on tithing. And I saw another one that had options. This one going to mess everybody up. But let me, before I go there, what's your thoughts, y'all who are on the line, anybody else who want to jump in, what's your thoughts on when situations come up, talking about situation with your own personal life, whatever got going on, something comes up and you like, man, if I give this 10%, you know how much you make? If I give this 10%, things are not going to be good, right? What's your thoughts on holding back the tithe when situations of life come up? I go to Bishop first since she's here. She's been a pastor.
I tell on myself. There have been some times that I withheld the 10%, and not only did the light still go out, but then some other problems happened. And then it's been some times that I have held back and things worked out. But the difference between the two times for me is that I had one time that I consulted the Lord and one time I didn't consult the Lord. There's a difference in which I believe that when you consult the Lord, because God is not glorified if my lights are cut off, especially if I'm not seeking Him. I just don't believe it. I just don't believe it. And maybe, you know, there's still some revelation for me because, you know, we always are students, especially of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that if I seek Him first, all of these things are going to be added unto me. So when I fail to talk to Him, to seek Him, then I didn't get the provisions that I needed. But when I sought Him and got wise counsel from God Himself, then everything that I needed, I was able to get, and I still was able to do what God told me to do.
Amen. Anybody else?
Well, I'm kind of like a bishop, you know. If I see something like that that's on the horizon, I'll go to God about it, and that's the first thing I do. I won't necessarily say I ask. I do go to Him about it, and I let Him know, because God knows because God knows when I had it, if I have it, I gave it freely, no
right.
problem. But you know, but as you know, as time has went on, and as you know, I've read and like you said, we look at these options and stuff like that. I'm gonna be honest. It still brought a heavy conviction to me because I've always, you know, I've always been taught to give. You know, and you give wherever you fed, all these things we talked about. And even to this day, if I had to do something like that, there's still a heavy conviction on me. But I would still say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what has come up. And, Lord, you know that if there's any way for me to give it, then, you know, make it. And sometimes he would. You know, it worked out where I could still give it, and it worked out. There were times where, like I said, that I held off, and it still worked out because I went to him. You know, but there are times mm-hmm. before I found out about giving it that I was solely just doing what I was supposed to do. It didn't work out. But I have been one of those ones that gave everything. I have been one of those ones that gave everything in Sunday, you know, in church on a Sunday, sell for $5, and then turn around and come home and get a $3,500 check that same day.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, let me throw something at you. And when I write this book, I pray that it gets written just like the first book I wrote was written. But this one's a little bit more deeper. So God has already given me a lot. And but you know, it's kind of interesting because one of the questions that I would just throw out there is it okay to hold back your tithe when life happens? And then if I was teaching this class, when we teach the advanced part of tithing, the second question is going to be, is it okay to God if you hold back when certain things of life happen? Now, I already know, and everybody's not going to be listening to this show, but I already know, that depending on the status, depending on the financial condition of a church and the knowledge of a pastor or religious leader, that's going to determine if that's okay with me or not. Let me give you an example. If mama's tithe is quote unquote only $75 a month, I may not have too much a problem with that because that's not taking care of my salary, the light bill, and putting the gas in my car and my continuing education. That's not taking care of all that. Just a little small portion of it. But Bishop, who done retired 3 and 4 times, got a good disability check coming 100% from the government. Your tithe is like $4,000. I may miss that as a leader. So I may have a little problem with that. But, you know, you really need to be faithful to the Lord, Bishop, I may say. I may get a little nervous depending on how much has not come in already. But I can depend on Bishop because Bishop check come automatically through that bill pay thing. But the number one question that we want to ask is it okay to God? And I'm going to include this in the book. Can I tell you that it is okay to God? Or let me say it like this. Biblically, God made a provision for that. Did anybody know that? God made a provision in his word for holding back from the tithe. Ooh, y'all are quiet. Can I tell y'all where it's at?
Shango.
You know it, Bishop? It's in Leviticus chapter 27. Let me read it to you. Here's what God is saying. And here's who he's saying it to. He's saying it to the priests. He's not saying this to the people. He says, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain or or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. I ain't got a problem with that one. But then he says, if you want to buy back the Lord's tenth of the grain or fruit, you must pay his value plus one-fifth being added to it. Did y'all just hear what God said? Whoever will redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. Mm-hmm. Brother Mark, I know I'm poking some holes in some stuff. Well, can you imagine about 40, 50 people on Sunday? Man, it's a little rough right now, Pastor Dunlap. I know you're depending on it, but I just wanted to let you. Can you imagine getting 40 emails on Sunday or on Saturday? I know y'all depending on my tithe, Pastor. Or no, I'm gonna go Mark in the finance room. Brother Mark, I just want to let you know. we gotta go out of town for an emergency. And I know you need, but we gonna hope. Now see, what's gonna come out of Mark's mouth? Well, if you don't get a 10, he's gonna take the 90. Well, if you don't, but the Lord made a provision in his word. I'm reading it. I ain't making this up, y'all. Leviticus chapter 27:30-34.
Just posted it on Facebook.
Oh my goodness! Don't see. You gonna mess them up? You ain't. You got you, like Bart told me. You can't just poke holes all in this thing and not come back. Well, they gonna ignore that thing. They don't want to hear that. Some folk gonna mess up some church. Oh, it's Easter Sunday too. Lord have mercy. Oh my goodness! If they get a hold, they get a hold to this one, Mama. Good Lord! If they get a hold to this one right here, hold on, because it's complicated. Because he's speaking to the Levites. He's speaking to the priest. He ain't speaking to the people. And see, this is where the Spirit has spoken to me at, giving me understanding on this, because a lot of folks don't ever want to go here. I'm pointing like y'all can see where I'm pointing. Leaders, oftentimes, a lot of leaders, I'll say this, we know this to be true, a lot of leaders are not going to want to hear that you should not tithe. God gave you, better bring it. We know from the beat down scripture, we know from if you don't give the 10, you're going to take the 90. We know out of the manipulation that's come, we know all that stuff already. We've heard it. But God said, hold on. See, God is, he's so wise. I mean, we just can't beat it. We just can't, we never going to be where God is. So this is Dunlapism right here, what I'm about to say. I just believe God threw this in here because he knew it was going to be some priests like we got some pastors today. That's going to be saying some crazy stuff. Now, if you don't get that tithe, you know what's going to happen to next year's crops. Ain't going to get no harvest next year. You know that, right? Because you ain't bring that tithe.
You're going to have withered grapes.
Some things going I just believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, probably knew, I'm theologically going here, probably knew that there would be some times when people would have to hold back. And so they say, listen, we're going to give, but we want to get that right back. God's currency system is different than the world's. If you want to buy back the Lord's tenth of grain or fruit. So he didn't say don't bring it. Right? It didn't say don't bring it. He's talking about buying it back. So I'm going to bring these grapes. I'm going to bring these apples. But I need to go ahead and get that back. Can you imagine on Sunday morning if some folk went up in your church talking about redeeming the tithe? Now, see, what the Lord said was, you can do that. And we told him, listen, he told the leaders, look, they can do that, so don't be getting all crazy on the folk. Don't be beating them down. I'm adding that part, y'all. They can do it. But when they give that 10% back, because they're buying it back, they're redeeming, then they got to come with another fifth to it. Huh. Ain't that something? So So God doesn't beat folk up because he knows that they're going to have some reason why folk going to say, I need that back. Oh, my goodness. Bart, when this book come out right here, Lord have mercy. Some churches going to shut down. And they're not going to shut down because people redeeming the tithe. Mark, watch my words. They're not going to shut down. It's not going to cause that type of ruckus because people are redeeming the tithe. It's going to be an issue with the leaders that have never been introduced to this text.
Yep.
And want to hold people in bondage. Oh, I got one more. In the book of Numbers. I just need to go ahead and write the book because I can't keep talking about this because then ain't nobody going to buy the book because if I keep talking about it, it's putting it all out there. But I got to do it. I got to get it out there because folk is just messed up with this.
But
go ahead. Somebody got something?
Yes. May I also add that I know that there are churches that if you don't pay your tithes and offerings, then you can't function, you're not allowed to function in ministry. That means the choir or anything that you're in, any auxiliary that you're in, if you don't pay tithes and offerings, you can't function in a ministry. So that means those ministries, say, if those congregations really receive this, that means they will be able to follow what God had called them to do, the ones that's singing in the choir, even the one that's in the helps ministry, they can't pay tithes and, they're not paying it, then they can't function in the ministry. So that's
here's my challenge to you. Let's talk about where those churches are. Because, see, if we don't ever talk about where that's happening, right, if we're going to bring it up, we should be able to bring it out. If we don't ever talk about where it's happening, then you got folk that are sitting scared, like, man, I know I want to serve, but I don't know. Maybe that's one of those churches. So don't be scared. Let's talk about them because maybe they need some help. Maybe we need to contact them and say, listen, we want to let us teach y'all something. Let's add to what you already doing because we got to help folks to get free from the bondage. Because folks, I promise you, when folk hear how folk talk about what's going on and what don't happen in the church, some of them are like, man, the hell with that. And they say it like that. I ain't no man. I tell you, I ain't going there. I'll be a CME Christian. I'll be a CME. I ain't going to be a CME Christian. I'll be a CME. Christian's Mother Day and Easter. They getting one this Sunday. Everybody posting up all this stuff about Easter. This the same thing you talk about every Sunday? Jesus being born? Died, raised, with all power in his hand? Y'all talk about this every Sunday. And you spending money on billboards. Really? All right, I digress. Go ahead, Mama. Sorry, go ahead.
I want to add to when you're saying holding back the tithes. When my husband and I was both sick, and we just thought we had a regular cold, and so we didn't know that we